Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello friends. This week we are going to take a look at the book of Nehemiah and examine how the enemy works to prevent you from fulfilling God's purposes in your life. You could call this series Exposing the Enemy's Plots. The book of Nehemiah is a fascinating historical book, but it gives us many spiritual parallels that we can apply in our lives today. To give you a little bit of background, the book of Nehemiah opens approximately 37 years after the Jews had returned from Babylonian captivity and returned to Jerusalem. An amazing event in history because it was a fulfillment of a specific prophetic word that you can find in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied that a man named Cyrus would be a vessel of God that returned the Jews to their homeland and helped build the temple of God again. If you'll recall from Bible history, because of a falling away from God, the Jews ended up receiving tremendous judgment. They were taken into Babylonian captivity and were there for 70 years. The city of Jerusalem had been burned with fire. The wall that surrounded this once beautiful city, where Solomon's ornate and amazing gold-filled temple had stood, was now in complete destruction. All of the gold vessels from the temple had been taken to Babylon. The city was nothing but a rubbish heap. A few people of Israelite descent were still living in the land, but the majority of the people had been forcibly taken captive and marched some 1,500 miles to Babylon. 70 years passed, and the word of the Lord came to pass. Cyrus the king came into power in Babylon. He was a Persian, and he sent out a decree saying that the Jews should return and rebuild Jerusalem, and specifically rebuild the temple of the true God. Cyrus was undoubtedly aware of the prophetic word in the Jewish scriptures about himself, as some scholars surmise that his mother or stepmother was Esther. However he came into this knowledge, he knew that he had been given a mandate from God and sent the Jews back with finances to help rebuild the temple. Though many Jews returned, and it was over 42,000 Jews that marched back to Jerusalem in the book of Ezra, it took many, many years to rebuild that temple, and the city itself was never rebuilt, and the wall was never repaired, and few people actually lived in the city. They had gone to the outlying areas and built themselves homes, but no one had undertaken this massive project of trying to rebuild Jerusalem. So Nehemiah opens with Nehemiah hearing a report from some men who had just returned from Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king at the time in that Persian Empire. The cupbearer to the king was a high-ranking position, and Nehemiah was a patriot, loved his homeland, and longed to see Jerusalem rebuilt. And he inquired about its condition from the men who had just returned. They told him this in Nehemiah 1:3. They said to me, "The remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire." Now it came about when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah loved his homeland and was so grieved when he heard of the condition of the city of Jerusalem. But God gave him a mandate to inquire of the king for a specific favor, to ask the king to send him to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall of the city. This was a very bold thing for Nehemiah to undertake because in the culture at that time, a Persian king could be very capricious. He could just rebuke him, send him to prison, take off his head for even being so emboldened to ask such a favor of the monarch. And yet the hand of God was on Nehemiah, and the king granted the request that Nehemiah asked, and not only that, gave him papers to give to the governors along the way, and specifically a letter from the keeper of the king's forest, who was to supply him with timber to help rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah's assignment from God was underway. Nehemiah's assignment was a remarkable one. He was literally going on mission for God to go and encourage the Jews in Jerusalem to rise up and build the wall. Now imagine, it had been over 100 years since the city had been inhabited with homes and with the temple and all of those things in place. And yet now, over a century later, the city was in ruins because of the disobedience of the Jews at that time. And it had never been rebuilt, though the temple had been rebuilt under Zerubbabel and Ezra. But here, the gate or the wall that had encompassed that beautiful city had never been rebuilt. And it was literally a rubbish heap at that time. So Nehemiah took off on a 1,500-mile journey to go as God's encourager. The ministry of encouragement in the body of Christ is much more powerful than most people realize. Do you remember Barnabas, Paul's traveling companion in the book of Acts? His name literally meant son of encouragement. It is very vital that the body of Christ today, that believers around the world rise up and engage with diligence in the ministry of encouragement. How vital is this ministry of encouragement? Well, let me put it to you this way. Nehemiah was single-handedly responsible because of his encouragement in the wall around the city of Jerusalem being rebuilt in a record 52 days. They did not have huge earth-moving equipment. They did not have anything but human labor to move these huge stones that had been pulled down and burned and to rebuild this wall around the entire city. How did that ever come to pass? It came to pass because of the ministry of encouragement of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, had he not returned to that city and begun to encourage the people that God wanted it done, that it was God's will, that God's hand was in it, that his blessing was with them, that his favor was there, was available to them, they would have never probably moved a single stone. But what happened? In Nehemiah chapter 2, we find Nehemiah coming to the city of Jerusalem. He arose in the night so as not to arouse any suspicion of his activities, and he went around the wall of the entire city at night on his horse. There were places where the horse couldn't even pass because the rubbish was so deep and so thick, a century worth of rubbish. And yet Nehemiah was not discouraged in his assignment. He knew he had come there to be an encourager from God, to speak words of life to the people that live there and encourage them to rise up and build. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah is speaking and he says, "Then I said to them," and he was talking to the officials of Jerusalem, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. Nehemiah's critical part was his word of encouragement to these people. Nehemiah couldn't single-handedly go around and build this wall up, but his words of encouragement sparked hope. His words of encouragement imparted courage to these men, and it gathered a unified force to rise up and do the will of God. Your ministry of encouragement is more vital than you may ever realize. God's desire is to see every person fulfill God's purpose in their personal life. One of the enemy of your soul and my soul, one of his plots is to prevent you from ever being encouraged or having courage imparted to you to do God's will for your life, whatever it may be. The enemy wants to withhold encouragement in the body of Christ. God wants to release the ministry of encouragement that can build up a wall, build up the church, see great exploits for God accomplished. God wants you to be a minister of encouragement like Nehemiah, spurring on the body of Christ to build up the wall. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week. Hi, this is Rita Langland inviting you to consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. Our partners are known as supply keepers. A supply keeper is one who helps to supply the temporal needs of a ministry that preaches the gospel over the radio waves around the world. Paul said about his own financial supporters that they were partakers of God's grace through partnership with him in the gospel. Would you like to be a partaker of God's grace by partnering with us to keep Keys to Victorious Christian Living on the air in your area? Then please call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS and ask for a supply keeper packet. We look forward to hearing from you. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.